to use random numbers in the allocation of individual participants to experimental and control groups. The principle of blindness was also introduced in the trial by Amberson and his colleagues. The participants were not aware of whether they received intravenous injections of sinacrosin or distilled water. In a trial of cold vaccines in 1938, Deal and co-workers referred to the saline solution given to the subjects in the control group as a placebo. One of the early trials from the National Cancer Institute of the National Institutes of Health in 1960 randomly assigned patients with leukemia to either 6-azoracil or placebo. No treatment benefit was observed in this double-blind trial. It is only in the past several decades that the clinical trial has emerged as the preferred method in the evaluation of medical interventions. Techniques of implementation and special methods of analysis have been developed during this period. Many of the principles have their origins in work by Hill. The authors of this book have spent their careers at the U.S. National Institutes of Health and Academia. Therefore, many of the examples reflect this experience. We also cite papers which review the history of clinical trials development at the NIH. The purpose of this chapter is to define clinical trials, review the need for them, and discuss timing and phasing of clinical trials. Fundamental point: a properly planned and executed clinical trial is a powerful experimental technique for assessing the effectiveness of an intervention. What is a clinical trial? We define a clinical trial as a prospective study comparing the effect and value of interventions against a control in human beings. Note that a clinical trial is prospective rather than retrospective. Study participants must be followed forward in time. They need not all be followed from an identical calendar date. In fact, this will occur only rarely. Each participant, however, must be followed from a well-defined point in time, which becomes time zero or baseline for the study. This contrasts with the case control study, a type of retrospective observational study in which participants are selected on the basis of presence or absence of an event or condition of interest. By definition, such a study is not a clinical trial. People can also be identified from hospital records or other data sources, and subsequent records can be assessed for evidence of new events. This is not considered to be a clinical trial, since the participants are not directly observed from the moment of initiation of the study, and at least some of the follow-up data are retrospective. A clinical trial must employ one or more intervention techniques. These may be single or combinations of diagnostic, preventive, or therapeutic drugs, biologics, devices, regimens, or procedures. Intervention techniques should be applied to participants in a standard fashion in an effort to change some aspect. Follow-up of people over a period of time without active intervention may measure the natural history of a disease process, but it does not constitute a clinical trial. Without active intervention, the study is observational because no experiment is being performed. Early phase studies may be controlled or uncontrolled. Although common terminology refers to phase 1 and phase 2 trials because they are sometimes uncontrolled, we will refer to them as clinical studies. A trial, using our definition, contains a control group against which the intervention group is compared. At baseline, the control group must be sufficiently similar in relevant respects to the intervention group in order that differences in outcome may reasonably be attributed to the action of the intervention. Methods for obtaining an appropriate control group are discussed in a later chapter. Most often, a new intervention is compared with, or used along with, best current standard therapy. Only if no such standard exists, or for several reasons discussed in Chapter 2, is not available, is it appropriate for the participants in the intervention group to be compared with participants who are on no active treatment. No active treatment means that the participant may receive either a placebo or no treatment at all. Obviously, participants in all groups may be on a variety of additional therapies and regimens, so-called concomitant treatments, which may be either self-administered or prescribed by others, such as personal physicians. For purposes of this book, only studies on human beings will be considered as clinical trials. Certainly, animals or plants may be studied using similar techniques. However, this book focuses on trials in people, and each clinical trial must therefore incorporate participant safety considerations into its basic design. Equally important is the need for and responsibility of the investigator to fully inform potential participants about the trial, including information about potential benefits, harms, and treatment alternatives. Unlike animal studies, in clinical trials, the investigator cannot dictate what an individual should do. He can only strongly encourage participants to avoid certain medications or procedures which might interfere with the trial. Since it may be impossible to have pure intervention,